let me pause and just interject that the him here is Jesus. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." A well-known portion of Scripture, but unfortunately because it involves children, there may be some of you right now who are quickly tuning out. I encourage you not to do that. Those of you who are not parents, don't be too quick to dismiss this passage as having nothing to do with you. I encourage you. Would you stay open this morning and see what the Lord would have for you in this passage? You see, whether you are a parent or not, I know there's something here for each of us. In particular, I'd like to zero in right now on verse 16 for a moment. It says, Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." Think of the ministries that have been spawned through this verse, and rightly so. Think of the encouragement that this verse has been to many a parent. Think of the elevation this verse gives to how we should view children. And think of what it reveals about Jesus. I've called our time together this morning based on this verse, "Let the little children come to me." Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this privilege of gathering together. Lord, we do not take it lightly. That we have the freedoms to gather. As we gather, Lord, we can know that this is your word. That we can hear from you. That we can be led by you. We can know you. So, Lord, don't let us stop short of just coming to church, Lord. Let us come to you. We need you. And in particular, Lord, we need your view. We need your heart towards the children. How precious they are. Lord, would you indeed help us to see the kids like you do? Help us understand what an opportunity it is you set before us and every one of the children. And beyond that, Lord, help us to see you better through this, to know you better. So, Lord, we pray you keep away the distractions. We can be so vulnerable to distractions, Lord. So would you lift those off us? And in this time and in this place, Lord, by your Spirit, speak, Lord, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's dig into this and see what the Lord would have for all of us. Verse 15. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Our passage begins with some people bringing children to Jesus. First of all, it's important to note who it is that's doing the bringing. Do you see in verse 15 here the word "them" at the end of the verse where it says the disciples rebuked them, rebuked these who are bringing the children? Well, the word "them" there in the Greek is not the word for women. There is a separate Greek word if this had been only women. It doesn't mean that women weren't a part of it, but the word chosen shows that men were a part of it also. Could have been exclusively men, but certainly it included men in this bringing of the children. So, right off the bat, we see dads, it is crucial that you have a part in bringing the children to Jesus. It's not, of course, to make light of you moms, of the ladies, and the part that you have. It's a call to both. But unfortunately, too often I see the women stepping up, but the men holding back. Too often you'll see the men say, "Well, that's a woman's job," or "I've got to work, I'll leave that to my wife," or whatever. In God's economy, in His design, dads, you have a definite role. And we see the dads were involved. This word indicates that it was at least a mixed group bringing. So here we have moms and dads bringing children to Jesus. Indeed, dads, remember, Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You cannot abdicate that, men. You are called to do that. Now, that you're here this morning is awesome. And you might say, hey, the very fact that I'm here should say something because my kids are over there in the children's ministry. Great. Awesome. That's why we have the children's ministry. You should be doing that. Hopefully you are doing it. Good stuff. But my concern is, too often what I see is people rely on that solely. They say, well, I take them to church once a week. I put them in the children's ministry. I leave it up to those who are more trained in that and perhaps more skilled in that. Please understand, it's great you have it in children's ministry. But that half an hour, that 45 minutes, depending on how long the pastor goes, that's not enough. How many of you say only 1/2 hour of television this week? Maybe some of you do. Oh, only 1/2 hour of Game Boy, you know, whatever. No. But we'll go 1/2 hour of church is enough. So yes, church is important, children's ministry, but it's something that should be going on from both moms and dads all the time. Now they're bringing the children, it says, and why? That he might touch them, it says. If you look at your text, they're bringing, it says, that he might touch them. So they're desiring that Jesus might lay his hand upon them. For what purpose? Well, Matthew's account of this incident, he adds something for us. It says, and the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. An important addition there. The reason they were bringing their children to Jesus was this laying on of hands thing. What that means is that he was praying for them. Again, we need to be praying for the children and seeking the Lord's intercession for them. And that's what they're doing here. So, the question becomes, Mom, Dads, are you bringing your children to Jesus? Again, not just to church, that's important, but are you bringing them to Jesus? Do you bring your children not just through your words, but by your life? Children are perceptive. They see. They're sitting in the back seat and listening to you as you talk. They're hanging around the house while you're going through your decisions and choices you make. And they see what we say, but they also see what we really do. What is it they see you really living for? What choices do they see you really making in terms of what gets you excited, what you spend your time on, your money on, your energy? They hear whether you really talk about God. They know those things. And what you do even speaks louder than what you say. So are we bringing the children to Jesus? In your home, are they being brought to Jesus? You know, I want to read this quote. It's a little bit lengthy, but it's a good one. Charles Spurgeon, a pastor of some years back, very anointed man, said this, and I remember when I first read it, it kind of spoke to me, and I just want to give it for your consideration. Spurgeon said, I heard of a man who said that he did not like to prejudice his boy, so he would not say anything to him about religion. The devil, however, was quite willing to prejudice the lad. So very early in life, he learned to swear, although his father had a foolish and wicked objection to teaching him to pray. And then Spurgeon said, if ever you feel it incumbent upon you not to prejudice a piece of ground by sowing good seed in it, you may rest assured that the weeds will not imitate your impartiality. Where the plow does not go and the seed is not sown, the weeds are sure to multiply. And if children are left untrained, all sorts of evil will spring up in their hearts and lives, end quote. I doubt if any of you who seriously wanted to make an attempt at having a decent front yard say to yourself, well, I don't want to prejudice my front yard. I'll just leave it alone. And I'm sure the right things will spring up out there. Well, they will if you want weeds, because it's not neutral, is it? There are influences on that piece of ground, and there's influences on the kids, vying for their attention, telling them that they're bombarded with things out there. It's not neutral, and we're to be proactive about bringing them to the Lord. You can't just say, well, I'll leave that up to them to decide someday. Now, as we move on, notice the response of the disciples to all this as the parents were bringing them. It says here, they rebuked them. Interesting response. Perhaps the disciples thought Jesus was too tired. He'd been ministering a lot. He was traveling on his way for the last time to Jerusalem. The cross was up ahead of him and all he'd be facing. He'd been teaching and doing so many things. Maybe they think he's too tired. Maybe they think this is improper. After all, he's this religious leader and all, and maybe this, he's above the children or something. Maybe they thought the kids were just too young. Maybe he thought the infants were too little. Whatever it is, the appearance is they thought they were doing a good thing. They thought they were helping Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Thought they were in tune with him, but actually they completely misunderstood him. Where they thought they were helping Jesus, they were actually making him angry. Verse 16. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." Why do I say that he was getting angry about this? Well, Mark's gospel now adds something for us. Again, about this same event. But Mark says, "But when Jesus saw it," that is, the disciples keeping the little ones away from him, "he," Jesus, "was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God.'" You see the word displeased there when it speaks of the Lord's reaction. It's a word that means to be greatly afflicted or indignant. So in this we realize it says that when he sees they were keeping the children away, they were forbidding, they were hindering it, they were rebuking the children from coming. It says he was displeased. No, it says he was greatly displeased. If you read that, we just had up. He was greatly displeased. Don't miss Jesus' reaction there. You don't often find Jesus getting angry. Oh, he was angry in the temple at the money changers and all, turning the house of God into a den of thieves, and he threw over their tables and all. But there was always that righteous anger. If he was angry, of course, it was righteous if it was Jesus. But notice here, he gets upset about this. "Don't you keep the children from coming to me." See, what does that say to us? Hopefully it challenges us about some things. "Let the little children come," he says. And notice, it's to all children. Do we read here that Jesus says, "Oh, no, no, let the rich ones come in. No, no, disciples, keep away those others, but let the rich ones in. We need the money." No. Does he say, "Well, run an IQ test on the parents and make sure they're smart enough and then let the kids come on in"? No. Did he say, "Well, only the children of the famous can come in"? No. The intellectuals, the elite, the in crowd. No, none of those things. All. Let all the children come. Think of that, parents. On what basis can you bring your children to the Lord? Think if it were about cultural things, class differences, all those kinds of things that too often this world is plagued with. Think about that. On what basis can you bring your children to the Lord? Because you're rich enough? Because you're cute enough? Because you go to church enough? On what basis can we bring the children? On the basis of he invites us to. You've got an invitation. It'll let you in. It's the pass, so to speak. You can bring your children because Jesus says, "Bring them. Let them come and don't get in the way of it." What an awesome thing that is, parents. Take him up on it. Take him up on his invitation. But notice it says, "Let the little children," if you look at the text, verse 16, "let the little children come to me," and what? "Do not forbid them." If you have your New International Version or your New American Standard Version, you'll see that it's translated there. Instead of forbid, it says hinder. Do not hinder them. And that's a good translation. And it helps us understand what it means by forbidding. You see, you might sit here and say, "Well, I don't forbid my kids," or "I don't forbid other kids from coming. I don't say, you can't do it." Well, this helps us understand. It has a flavor of don't hinder them. Don't put anything in the way of it through your words or your actions. Again, by your choices, by what you show is important. Don't you hinder them from coming to him. Don't hinder the children from coming to Him by presenting the gospel in some harsh or sour or boring method. Teach it with joy and excitement. God loves them. God has come to teach us. God has come to save us. Maybe you've lost some sense of personal excitement about that. Then shame on you. Get excited again. And then pass it on to the kids. And that's the idea. I love it when our children's ministry here, you know, they present it, they use the puppets and the things they do and the songs and all, and they get the kids going on. That's because the Lord should be celebrated. Not presented in some harsh, critical tone. Don't hinder children from coming to the Lord by requiring of children some attitude, some demeanor that's unnatural for a child. Don't tell the children, oh, you've got to be pious now, and you know, all these things. Like somehow they're going to naturally do that. What are you telling them about God and their place in God? Don't hinder by inconsistencies. We spoke about that already. Don't say one thing and do another. Don't hinder by neglect. Oh, we'll go another time. There's something more important. There's an award show on I want to catch. Whatever it might be. Don't hinder. Don't put anything in the way is the idea. For the let here, when he says, let the children come to me, that must also include the idea of bringing them. Because that's what they were doing. That's exactly what they were doing, that Jesus says, let these parents do this. Let them bring them and don't get in the way of it. How are the little ones going to come to him if they're not brought? How are they going to know? Unless you tell them. Now remember, this is spoken to disciples, to the followers of Jesus. To his disciples, he says, let them in and don't do anything that gets in the way of that. What does that say to you? Collectively, as a church, what are some ways we might hinder the children from coming to him? We might hinder if we didn't offer a quality children's ministry. That would be a hindrance to him impacting the little ones with his love and all. How might we hinder collectively? If we didn't have an after-school outreach, like we're attempting to begin this week. For how will the children out there ever hear of God's love unless someone goes out there and tells them and brings them into a setting where they can be soaked in it? Many of you know that right after the first of the year, it was on my heart to put before the body here a couple of challenges. And one of them had to do with the fact that God had given us a youth center. Let's use it as an outreach to this community. This week, that outreach kicks off. Coming Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 in the afternoon, we'll have an open house. And then, Lord willing, every week afterwards, it'll be open as the Lord should provide. And see, there's going to be three key parts to this thing happening. Number one, we got to have workers. There's got to be those who say, I can rearrange my schedule. I can give up some time. This is worth it. I want to be part of it. And you can come over here because it will do no good to get the kids in here if there's nobody here to love the kids, to teach them and encourage them and help them be exposed to something different than they are out there in the world. I'm wondering if you might be someone who'd be willing to do that. That's got to take helpers, workers. Secondly, it's got to take the kids. All this will be for naught if the kids don't get in. We got to get the word out there. Now, many are already doing that, but you can be part of it. Get out in your neighborhood. Come over and volunteer to walk the local neighborhoods. Let your coworkers know, neighbors know. Hey, we got this thing going on. There's all these games and tutoring and all this fun stuff. There's snacks and all. Come on down. For it'll do no good if the children aren't there to hear of it. But there's a third part. And I said this on that occasion when I said it before the body. It's just as true today. It takes workers, takes the kids. But if God's not in it, it'll be for nothing. It's got to be soaked in prayer. Now, only the Lord knows if you've been praying about the youth outreach and what place it's had in your prayer life. But I'm just asking you, would you consider doing it? Would you consider taking one of the little flyers and tucking in your Bible and lifting up the youth outreach in prayer for protection, for anointing, that God would make it a vessel He could use to save children and encourage His little ones and all? And that's at least your part right there. But the ball's in your court. See, we can do things that hinder or facilitate the children coming. Well, now we come to a part that really touches me and I think is a key part. It's straight up, right there, but worth looking at. Verse 10. Jesus called them to Him and said, "Let the little children come." Where? To Me. To Me. Not just to church. You see, children, it's the same danger as we have with us. Many people come to church, but don't come to Jesus. People come to their rituals and all those things they can come to, but they don't come to Jesus. Let the little children come to Me, is the call. To Jesus, not to the law, not to rules and regulations, and you better not, and all those things, but to a personal relationship with Him. To His love, to His mercy, to His grace. That they can talk with Him from the very little young age. That they can know His Word. It's a lamp unto our feet. That it's not just rules and regulations, it's God speaking to us. Parents, all of us, how are the children going to go somewhere? How are we going to lead them somewhere where we're not at ourselves? How are we going to lead them somewhere where we're not going? It says, "Let them come to Me," Jesus said. You got to be doing it first. You got to be coming to Him. You got to know Him personally. You got to be coming to Him and walking with Him if you're going to lead the kids in that way. You can't push them out in front of you and say, "Hope you make it. Let me know what He's like." But some people take that attitude. We got to be leading them. And you can't do it unless you're there already. Parents, talk to your children about relationship with Jesus. See, it's not about rules and regulations. There's lots of religions out there that would teach that it is by rules and regulations that you get to heaven by your works. But only in Jesus do you have God reaching down to man and doing for us what we can't do on our own. Teach them that. Soak the kids in His grace and His mercy. Parents, teachers, don't you ever tell the children that God won't love them if they're not good. Don't you ever do that. It's a lie. If you're going to do that, you first go in and tell it to the person in the mirror. You don't want a relationship with God in which is based on your works, you being good, having a good day, great. All of a sudden, your thought went somewhere it shouldn't. You didn't do something you should have. Whatever it might have been, you know. All day long, we live by grace and grace alone. And if you start putting on the kids something you can't follow, what's that about? Don't ever tell them they need to be good if they're going to get to heaven or for Jesus to love them. Don't use God to get your children to obey. Don't you do it. We drive that home here for our children's ministry. And I'm just encouraging each of you. Of course, children need discipline. Of course, we need to guide them and lead them in the instruction and admonition of the Lord. But don't use God on them to try to get them to obey. For all of us, notice, Jesus wasn't too busy for the children. Are we? You say, next week, I'll start to do some devotions with them. Later on, I'll talk to them about prayer. Well, I'll go to the list of what we'll do somewhere. But right now, I've got this to do and that to take care of and this to watch and this place to go. Jesus wasn't too busy for the children. and that challenges us. And then at the end of verse 16, for of such is the kingdom of God. Again, your NIV and New American Standard versions translate this, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Interesting. Jesus now takes this whole point beyond just the children. Notice he says, uses the word, for of such is the kingdom of God. See, it doesn't mean he's saying that heaven is only for children. Indeed, verse 17 defines what he means. Look at it. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Interesting. If a person wants to enter, receive the kingdom of God, then there are qualities about children that that person who wants to enter the kingdom has to have. There's something about children that the person who wants to receive, enter into the kingdom of God, must be like. Interesting. You see, the kingdom of God is not entered through your intellect. The kingdom of God is not entered through your good works. It's entered as a child. Not childish, but there's something about a child that he's pointing to. What is it? It's that childlike trust, that simplicity that children have. It's that faith, that childlike faith. It's the awe and wonder that children have is how we're to come. It's so awesome. You talk to a lot of the people that work in the children's ministry, and they'll tell you. The little ones are hungry to hear about the Lord, and they're excited about God, and you've got to convince them that God exists. Children don't get in big, long theological debates. They just get totally excited about a butterfly. That's all they know. They just love creation. They're in awe and wonder. See, we've gotten old and cynical. But the kids aren't there. Jesus says, you better be like that. You better get back and remember. You need childlike faith. You need that simple trust. You know, a child jumps in the lap of a parent or grandparent. If they trust them, if they know there's love there. Let me tell you, grandparent is everything people say and more. Good stuff. But they jump up on your lap. And that's how we're to come to Him. No preconceived things, no putting on airs, trying to earn it. You just come. And that's what He says we're to come like. And He says, indeed, you're not going to enter unless you do. Oh, yes, we're to come reason together with the Lord and all that. And there's a place for all those things. But there's an attitude of heart that He's looking for. The Life Application Bible Commentary says, childlike faith means trusting God no matter what, always knowing that He has your best in mind. You love Him because He loves you. You trust completely because the one you trust is completely trustworthy. End quote. So Jesus points to children and says, you got to be like that. That's how you'll need to be. Again, not that we stay childish in our understanding. We grow. We grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. He says, come, let us reason together. There's a place for our brain, but our hearts. Our hearts, they have that childlike faith. Indeed, he goes beyond that to talk about the greatest. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? In Matthew. Matthew 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, and said in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, in other words, a conclusion, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's how we get in, and it's what's to mark our walk with Him. A humility, trust, faith. That's what he's talking about should mark the believer's life. Got a question for you. Having studied this passage now, what do we learn about Jesus in all of this? When you read a passage like this, Mark 10:16, and he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. When you read a passage like that, how do you react to that? Now think about it a moment. To see Jesus with his arms wrapped around a child should give all of us great encouragement. What does it have to do with us this morning? Why would this be an encouragement to all of us? Because of what it reveals about the nature of Jesus. Get those kids away from me? You kidding me? That one's got a runny nose. Look how dusty and dirty he is. We don't hear that. But he scoops them up in his arms, prays for them, blesses them. And what this reveals about the nature of Jesus, let me put it this way, don't answer out loud, it's rhetorical, but just to think about. Because of this passage, of this truth that's being revealed here, how many of us have pictured ourselves as that child from time to time? As we've gone through that time of grief, that storm, whatever it might have been, that trial we were going through, how often have we just pictured ourselves, indeed, been so thankful that we could jump up in his lap and get a hug and know that he receives us just like we are. And he intercedes for us. He prays. He blesses us. We've been that child many a times. How thankful we are of what this says about his very nature, his character. And even now, we realize that those same arms are open to every single one of us. Are you here this morning, but you've never really surrendered your heart to Jesus? I pray that you'll see your need and that he's the answer for it. Well, I want to know God, and I want to go to heaven, and I want to be saved, and I sure enough know I got a lot to be forgiven of. How do I come? Like a child. Not earning anything, not deserving it, not because, like I said earlier, not because you're so cute or so smart, but you come because of the invitation. Because he's a God who takes you up in his arms. He wants to forgive if you'll just come, trusting in him, seeking the salvation that only he can give you. Do you need to come? Good news. You can do it. He says, come as a child, with childlike faith. Now, for some here this morning, again, you might be sitting here still struggling. You're still kind of wondering, well, I see this for parents, but what does it have to do with all of us? Well, as I just said, it has to do with you because it shows you the nature of your God. I hope that blesses you. Secondly, even though you're not a parent, think about this. I want to share two more verses with you. Now, watch this. This applies to every one of us, and I dare say it's good stuff, but it challenges us to the core. Watch it. Then he, Jesus, took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. For every single person here, do you understand who that little kid with his peanut butter and jelly over his face, do you understand who that is standing there? I didn't make this up. God says, when you receive one of the little children, you're receiving him. Oh, I know they're not perfect. I know they need training. They get into trouble. They do those things that, well, you earn your gray hairs, don't you, parents? I know all that, but there's something here that the Lord wants us to understand. Every single person, not just parents, every single person, when you see that child, if you receive them, that child in his name, you receive Jesus. That little boy, that little girl with her freckles or whatever else, in a very real way, Jesus says, you receive her, you are receiving every single child is an opportunity. What will you do with that? What a pain kids are. They really bug me. Why can't they be like we were perfect in every way? Yeah, right. Jesus says, that's me. Oh, see it for the context, but of course they're not perfect little beings. But he said, that's me. When you leave in a few moments, you're going to see a whole bunch of kids out here. How will you react to them based on this? As you go through your day, your own children, your grandchildren, the children of this church, the children of this community, the children out there all over, do you understand what God is saying? That's me. Will you hinder them or will you bring them? Will you think they're too much trouble or will you take time for them? Will you be available or will you find some excuse not to be? Do you understand who that little one represents? And God gives you an opportunity. You now know. And He gives you the opportunity to do something about it. I'd like to take just a moment and thank some people. I'd like to thank all of you who are part of our children's ministry here in this fellowship. I'd like to thank all of our Calvary Kids Club workers on Wednesdays. Thank you to each of you. To those of you who are or will be helping in the children's, in the youth center, in the children's outreach to the youth center, thank you. I know you do what you do for the Lord, but I just wanted to throw my well done in there. I think of our preschool here. I think of all these opportunities to bless the children. And I thank God for each of you who stepped up. I know it can be demanding. I know there's mornings when it's hard to not only get your kids ready, but then to get the curriculum ready, get down here and get the rooms ready, get yourself ready, be well-versed on it, and to love those kids. I know you could do other things. You could have slept in, could have had a bigger breakfast, whatever it might have been. I understand. I just want to encourage you for a moment. Do not lose sight of the eternal role that you have. And eternity is being affected here. How many of us know, indeed, many of us probably don't, the prayer and the seeds that were sown in our lives before we ever came to the Lord? We'll probably never know till eternity the difference somebody made. But there were seeds sown and prayer going up. For all of you involved in our different children's ministries and reaching out here, the different things we have going on here, please know the lives are being changed for the better because you simply made yourself available. And only eternity will show, but it will show the fruit of your labors. So hang in there. And I dare say, and I'm saying this to all of us here, I want to say it with love, but I want to say it with an exhortation. We just read that Jesus says that if you receive one of the little ones in His name, that is Him you're receiving. If we really believe that, then Lynette, our children's ministry director, her phone would be ringing off the hook this week. But I wonder if we really believe it. The youth center would be packed full of adults saying, here I am, what can I do? If we really believe when Jesus says, you're receiving me, I think the line would be out the door, people seeking to sign up. Because God gives us an opportunity. The children aren't a hassle, they're an opportunity for eternity. You see, the children today, and this is not a news flash, but the children today are being bombarded with junk. Such junk. Who knows why God puts a message like this on a pastor's heart? I can tell you a little bit. Because like you, I turn on the news and I just lose it. Well, our kids have become so expendable. They're being exposed to such junk. And who will make a difference? Who's going to offset this? Who's going to tell the kids? The kids are being told that they happen by chance, that they're here like any animal. You know, live like a hog, you're going to die like a dog. Who's going to tell the children, God made you. And you're created with a purpose, and you can know that purpose. You can know God. You can discover and walk in His will. He's built gifts into you. You can discover those gifts and exercise those gifts. You can have a life with meaning and purpose. I've come to give life, and that more abundant, He says. And the kids can know His grace and His mercy, but how are they going to know it if we leave it to someone else all the time? The kids are being told horrible things and they're being exposed to things that take away their innocence. And we allow it, and we're part of it. And I don't know, I just consider what's on the televisions and what we have in magazines and what we almost just say, well, no big deal, everybody's doing it, and well, that movie's got some bad parts, but it'll be okay. We don't understand what it does to their little spirits. We must bring them to Jesus, not just as parents, as we've seen today, but as Jesus followers. This has something to do with every person here, parent, grandparent, everybody, young, old, every one of us. This is a calling upon all of us. Will you be a part of letting the children come? Will you be a part of not hindering, but instead making available an experience with the Lord? Will you be part of bringing them through prayer, through volunteering, through getting involved? And lastly, will you think of this? This is God incarnate. Who's got a red letter Bible? If you do, then that part's in red, huh? That's because it's God speaking, Jesus speaking. Now think of it. Here's God visiting this earth, headed for the cross, but meanwhile he's teaching and showing and revealing about himself. And what does he do? He scoops up the children and blesses them and prays for them. That's God and how he views kids. Can we do any less? Are you really a disciple, a follower? Your Lord loves them and blesses them and hugs them and cares for them and protects them. Can we do any less? Jesus says, let them come. Don't you hinder them, but let them come. And then he says, and by the way, this is what my kingdom looks like. And more than that, by the way, that's me standing there in so many ways. How do you not respond? He doesn't bless them with the, well, maybe I'll touch him. But he scooped them up and loved them. He got involved. A big warm hug from Jesus. What does all this tell us about the Lord's heart? Remember, I said there was something here for all of us. From this, we see God in a really awesome way. We see what he has for us and what he wants to do through us. He could have set life up in a lot of different ways, but he designed it so we start out life, birth, little children, and he entrusted it to all of us. And not just directly the parents, though you have, of course, that key role, but all of us. The children are a stewardship. As we said, the children are an opportunity. The ball's in your court. What will you do about it? Let's stand. Worship team going to come close us in song together. Do you need to come to Jesus in simple, childlike faith? There'll be prayer partners by the prayer room. They would count it a privilege to pray with you. Have you drifted far from him? You're his, but it's been a long time. He calls you. Come home. Come home in childlike faith once again. Don't worry about working it off and being good enough and cleaning up yourself first. Come like a child comes. Says, Mom, I fell in the mud. And Dad, Mom, scoop you up and wash you off and put some new Levi's on you. The Lord wants to do that. Just come and let him do the scrubbing and the cleaning and the changing. And for all of us, as I said earlier, we're about to leave, and out in this hallway, you're going to find a whole bunch of little ones running around. But not just in the hallways, throughout our days. I wonder if you'll see them any different. Maybe it's just to encourage you, reminding you. Maybe some of you are tracking right with this. Keep it up. But for some of us, maybe we need to see the kids a little different. And our place, your place in their lives. Father. And just that, Lord, Father, that we can pray, we call out to you, and we know you're like this, that you love. You don't push away, but you draw close. And you hear prayer. Thank you, our Heavenly Father. But in particular, Father, would you search our hearts about children and our treatment of children and our place in the kids' lives and what you'd want to do. Lord, I pray for every parent here. Such an important calling, Lord, but they can get tired and fatigued and lose sight of the goal and what an awesome privilege you've given them. Lord, renew them and strengthen them and help them be that parent you'd have them be, Lord. Give them just that joy. What it means. Children truly are a heritage from you, Lord, a blessing from you. Help the parents keep that in mind, Lord. But, Lord, for all of us, Lord, Show us our part in this whole thing. How we can be vessels to these children of what you really like. Lord, help us. Forgive us when we haven't been. And help us to be your arms, your lips that might speak to and scoop up the kids and let them know how much you love them. Father, we pray for our children's ministry. We pray for the Calvary Kids Club. We pray for our preschool here, Lord. We pray for our youth outreaches, the youth center, and all these things, Lord. Would you bless and protect and use them all? That children would be impacted for eternity. They know how special they are to you. But how are they going to know if we don't tell them? So, Lord, help us to tell them. Use it all, Lord. We're just saying, use it all. And thank you, Lord, what this tells us about you, that you love like this, that this is your heart, that all can come. So, Lord, we do thank you. Shake us up, Lord. Challenge us. Use us. May it all be to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.